T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And welcome to Overnight America. Oh boy. So far, I've been working in the other room producing the Overnight America special, which will air on Christmas night. Man, has that been going? I'm really excited to play this for you because we are 1 week away from Christmas. At this time, next week, you'll be listening to the special. So by the time we hit midnight here, we'll be less than a week till Christmas. How does that happen? It's just amazing how things just fly by. So I'm really grateful to have you here on Overnight America in this hour. I wanted to do a couple of things for you. Talk about sales tax here in the state of Missouri, as Governor Parson wants a law for online sales tax collections. Also, the winter solstice is this Friday, and I saw online people are already talking about a polar vortex. So I called up our friends at AccuWeather, and I asked their senior meteorologist, Jack Boston, if there was going to be a polar vortex. And what did he say? Fake news. Fake news. He said, anyone that's sharing that online, they're crazy. You're not going to see a polar vortex this year. He said, right now, maybe mid-January. But I'm going to play our interview with him. So as soon as someone posts that online somewhere, first thing I want you to do is yell at them and say, fake news. All right, so to start the show, a couple of things I wanted to do. And I wanted to welcome our producer, Mike, back into the studio. He was gone the last couple of nights. He's been skiing, and he wears those skin-tight ski outfits, too. From what I understand, it's like he's wearing nothing at all. So he goes out there, does his thing, comes back. I want to play for him Clint Hasse, who yesterday at the KMOX Holiday Radio Show performed the KMOX song. So Mike missed that, and I said, oh, I got to play that for you. It's so good. Before we get to that, too, I wanted to do one other thing. I love reading these stories about people getting upset about, baby, it's cold outside, because it's stupid. I mean, why just fake the outrage? Because it's a 70-year-old song, and of course the intention wasn't for what they're claiming it is. It's just people trying to manufacture outrage for something. Well, I learned something new today, and I thought, this might be fun to start the show. Did you know the FBI investigated It's a Wonderful Life, the movie, when it came out? Because J. Edgar Hoover in 1946, right around the same time as Baby It's Cold Outside, thought there were deep connections to communism in the movie. So here we are, you know, 70 years later with Baby It's Cold Outside. Now we decide, oh, of course, the original intention of the song, or even the meaning of the words, or what the writer intended, or anything. Throw that out the window. We are only smart enough to interpret a song that came out 70 years ago. Now, the woke audience of 2018. But the FBI, they were right on top of It's a Wonderful Life with their connections to communism. So I found this on Ripley's Believe It or Not. They posted an article on this, and this is what they said. So in case you haven't seen the movie, do I need to say spoiler alert? That should be airing 24/7 right about now. Forget about Christmas Story. So the movie led a life akin to George Bailey himself, born with great ambition, dealt a series of setbacks, and resigned before returning with a renewed lease on life. There was a time when It's a Wonderful Life bankrupted a movie studio, ended a legendary filmmaker's career, and was totally forgotten at the public at large. But then it completely redeemed itself. Yeah, it was one of those movies that took a little while to gain some steam. Isn't that surprising? You think classics like that are just instantly, everyone loves them and they stay there forever. No, sometimes it's a slow build. Think about songs like Bohemian Rhapsody from Queen. Yeah, it was popular when it came out, but it became even more popular in the 90s when Wayne's World did it. And then it became popular again just now because they put a movie out. They come in waves sometimes. You have to just wait the delayed popularity of it all. So there's some songs like that. So the Smithsonian reports an unnamed FBI agent who watched the film as part of a larger FBI program aimed at detecting and neutralizing commie influences in Hollywood enjoyed it, finding it very entertaining. The report goes on, but was also alarmed. He was alarmed. This is what they said. It's a Wonderful Life had employed two common tricks used by communists to inject propaganda into a film. The first of those was portraying typically American values and institutions in a negative light. This is seen with Mr. Potter, banker, in the most Scrooge-tastic miser since Scrooge, they say. So if they look at the banker in a negative light, that's anti-American. Boo. Secondly, the movie was seen as bringing anti-American and pro-communist issues to the forefront. George Bailey's suicidal state and his overall questioning of whether his life had meant anything was an issue that the FBI reported as a subtle attempt to magnify the problems of the so-called common man in society. Man, how would you like to have that job working for the FBI and saying, I need to just sniff out anything that looks communist to me. I'm going to find it and I'm going to get it. This is, well, 70 years later, we do the same thing with Baby It's Cold Outside. We sniff it out and say, oh, there it is. In the Me Too movement, we got to put it under that lens. Of course, you can find alternate meaning in anything, anything. You know what I was watching the other day? My wife rented this from the library. It was The Santa Claus with Tim Allen. You remember that movie where Tim Allen, so at the very start of the movie, you know, he gets his son for Christmas. The wife or ex-wife drops him off and, you know, he burns the ham or whatever it was. And they go to Denny's for Christmas dinner. Well, that or Christmas Eve dinner. So that night, Santa Claus comes onto the top of the roof, slips and falls. He goes outside. He thinks someone is trying to break into the house. He notices the little card in the guy's suit, picks it up and he disappears. And then all of a sudden, Tim Allen is the Santa Claus. And they're watching this movie and, you know, it's kind of fun. You know, it's Tim Allen. He's doing his little Tim Allen thing. And, you know, they go to the North Pole and they do this and they do that. It's kind of a classic now anymore. They keep showing it. And I think they made multiple versions of it. So I'm watching this thing. And as the movie progresses, he has to go to court because he says he's Santa Claus and they say he's crazy and he loses custody of his kids and he's got to prove it. And finally, at the end, he's able to prove it as he flies through the sleigh and throws the wiener whistle down and stuff like that. So that's kind of the gist of the movie. He has to justify he's Santa Claus. And I thought, man, I'm surprised in 2018 they haven't looked at that film with our lens of how society has gone crazy anymore and say, you know what this movie's really about? You know what the motive of this movie is? It's not about Santa Claus at all. Actually, it's about identity politics. Yeah, it's us persecuting someone because they identify as something else. And we even throw them in jail in this movie. Boy, is that a social commentary. Someone identifies us. And I start saying this to my wife, and she looks at me and rolls her eyes. If she could have rolled her eyes any harder, they would have popped right out of her head, and she was right to do so. But that was my example. We can look at anything and say, oh, boy, that has to be it. Us persecuting people because they identify as something else. Oh, that's what the Santa Claus is really about. No, it's not. Cut it out. Just like Dave Coulier said, cut it out, man. That's my example. I'm saying you could do that with pretty much anything. Go back and look and say, oh, really? You know what? How many times? I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. You know who's really good at starting these type of moments? Moms. You know, moms could flip turn any argument against you, and you are defenseless against it, guys. There is nothing you can do. Your wife, if she's a mother, really any significant other, guys, you know you're going to lose an argument as soon as they flip that argument on you. Oh, really? So you're saying da-da-da-da-da-da. You're thinking to yourself, oh, boy, I'm going to get more trouble if I try to defend myself. So, yes, dear, you're right. I'm wrong. That's what society's turned into. Coming up this hour, too, I want to talk about the sales tax collections online. Governor Parson wants, yes, of course, that's what you heard right. Republican governor, more taxes, huh? And then I also want to bring on AccuWeather senior meteorologist Jack Boston to talk about this fake news that you see floating around social media about the polar vortex. They say it and they have to put a little reverb on it. Vortex, 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 vortex. Next hour, too, Kevin Werbeck. He has a book out called The Blockchain and the New Architecture of Trust. And he thinks that the blockchain and cryptocurrencies, it's inevitable that pretty much every institutions going to adopt this technology. And he says that they're going to be smart to do it because it's actually good technology. It's fascinating. So we're going to talk to him about that coming up too. All right. So before we go any further, I want to point out to producer Mike, who is now back. You did not wear your ski outfit, even though you told me it was skin tight and you enjoyed walking out there in your skin tight ski outfit. But you missed the holiday radio show yesterday. It was so, so good. And even though I played this yesterday, I'm going to play it again today. And you know what? I included it as part of the Overnight America Christmas special, which will air a week from today on Christmas night. Clint Hosse, who performed, I didn't know this about him, but he actually worked in the sales department at KMOX here about 20 years ago or so. And I was talking to some people about it. And they said, you know, one of the nicest guys, one of the most pleasant people to be around, easygoing. He's a salesperson, I believe, at KSDK. He does some other things, too, but he's also a musician. He does some music, and he has an album out that where he goes to Nashville, and it's kind of cool. But he did a special song for KMOX at the start of the holiday radio show yesterday. And because you missed it, producer Mike, I want to play this for you because I just thought it was so good.
We had breakfast with Bob Hardy, Bill, and Wendell and Weiss. Milk and cookies with the big bumper, and Mom never missed Ann Keefe. They had a 50,000-watt transmitter about 90 years before Twitter. The Mighty Mox is so delightful. Their personalities were so likable. On their app you'll hear a plenty. News Radio 1120. Got Tom and Debbie in the gym. Through Total Information AM. And my friends think I'm in the know. I never miss the Charlie Brennan show. Driving home feels like a parking lot. That's when I tune in Carol and Mark. And here it comes now in all its glory. Kevin Killeen's a whole nother story. Yes, he is. On Saturday night, I impress the chicks with Johnny Rabbit on Route 66. Health or religion, he creates a stir. Check out his feature, that's Fred Bottomer. For opposing opinions, turn off your telly. Filling in, that's Hancock and Kelly. The voice of St. Louis brings you the news. At your service, Cardinals and Blues. At your service, Cardinals and Blues. Now, while it's sure fun to reminisce, you better keep listening, because you don't know what you're going to miss. No, you never know what's coming next. Oh, yeah, remember this guy? Bob Hamilton, KMOX.
Clint Hosse, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, wasn't that great, producer Mike? Tell me that wasn't... Oh, whoa. So good, so good. So I wanted to play that. I'm going to play that probably another dozen times before I get told, okay, that's enough. I just love it so much. Yeah, we're going to have to bring that out of the archive every once in a while. For sure, we're going to have it as part of the Overnight America Christmas special, which will be a week from today on December 25th at night. I'll be probably nestled away as I'm preparing it ahead of time. I won't actually be coming in on Christmas night to work, which is nice. By Thursday night, the show will be on, and then by Friday morning, I'll be in vacation mode. So really, every hour, I'm going to start my phone to set an alarm to play Rebecca Black. It's Friday, because the whole vacation will feel like it's Friday set over again. Coming up in the next break, right after the weather, Governor Mike Parson wants another tax. Ugh, come on now. You might agree with it. I don't. I don't like it. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Looking for the perfect Christmas gift? Give Cardinals tickets. Today's Cardinals dynamic deal of the day? Kick off the season with all-inclusive tickets as low as $79 to Saturday home games in April. For details, visit cardinals.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Anyone excited for the governor trying to push a new tax here in the state of Missouri? Anyone? 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 No, you're not. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me just get this straight. You don't like new taxes? No. Hold on. Let me get this straight. I'll make sure I'm hearing you correctly. You're against taxes? Whoa. Crazy. I know. I would have thought. But this is what's happening. And out of Jefferson City, the AP putting this up. But you can actually find a copy of it at KMOX.com if you'd like to follow along. Governor Mike Parsons said today that he wants to enact a law enabling the state to collect millions of dollars in new tax revenue from out-of-state retailers who sell things in Missouri. So though there is no definitive plan yet for the potential new revenue, it could help propel other aspects of Parsons' agenda to boost infrastructure funding and workforce development. Now, that's always fun and dandy, like cotton candy. So they don't get the fuel tax passed, but hey, let's start taxing online sales. It's a nice advantage to be purchasing online things delivered to you, to not have to pay the sales tax. Not a lot of states, well, I shouldn't say that. Less than half the states right now have something similar to this. Not all do, but less than half. So online commerce has grown. Large retailers such as Amazon already had begun collecting sales tax for all 45 states that charge them, but others with a physical presence in only a few places haven't been doing so. If you're going to compete with internet sales, it sure ought to be fair with the brick and mortar businesses that are here, Parson told the AP. I think we should collect that, and I think we will eventually collect that. Are you in favor of just going out and just collecting as many taxes as we possibly can? You know, I understand the argument and I understand the rationale behind it, but I'm not going to be holding up a flag cheering, yes, please tax us some more. Please, please tax us. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. They think that it could generate $100 million to $150 million annually for the states. Missouri right now charges 4.225% sales tax. County, cities, fire, and ambulance districts and various other local jurisdictions tack on others. Total sales tax rates reach as high as 11.679% in some St. Louis community and transportation development districts. So you're telling me a sales tax in some places, 11.679, that's not enough for you? 11%? Come on now. What are we going to do? We're just going to tax? Everything's got to be a tax, at least with the fuel tax. I know it's kind of like a use tax. Like, you don't have to. You're like the fuel tax. I guess you don't have to fill up your tank if you don't want to. You wouldn't pay into it. Well, yeah, I guess you don't have to go out and spend money if you don't want to. Huh, is that the message? I guess you don't have to spend money if you don't want to. And part of the online sales and the way these things work, I get it. I get that you want to be able to keep things competitive for the brick and mortars. But there's other advantages that they have. I mean, you're actually able to go and talk to someone. You can actually physically get the item right then and there. You can do all of these things. And sure, they also have the ability to sell online. You know, it's nothing that a lot of these companies, they're not prevented from doing this as well. I know they might not have the same sort of resources that an Amazon or a Walmart or any of these places have, but still. It says at least 29 other states have already implemented laws to collect sales tax from remote retailers or will be doing so in January, February, according to the National Conference of State Legislatures. But, you know, to the main goal as governors are workforce development and infrastructure. So even though that was taken down, the 10 cent per gallon increase in the gas tax, I am not going to be up there yelling and cheering like I'm in the stadium trying to cheer for the Blues or something. Oh, yeah, yelling, getting all excited and pumped up for a new sales tax that's going to be coming our way. At some point, you got to look at 11.679% tax, a sales tax in some districts across the St. Louis region. Who right now has that? It doesn't really say in this one article. I'm curious who has the, which community has that. Man, that's nuts to me. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Man, that's a lot. Just going to keep raising it, I guess. We have all these other problems. I mean, we have shortfalls in budgets, but why is it that we have issues trying to collect from people that owe the government money and we still we still find it, you know, a terrible thing to say you need to register and pay your car obligations at the end of the year. You have to be able to pay off the tags. You have to be able to keep your license up to date and all these things. We see these temporary tags floating around, a lot of them fraudulent. Sometimes you even saw those reports. It was no fault of the buyer. They thought they were getting a legit tag from a quote-unquote legit dealer, and really they were just printing these things off and just hoping that people wouldn't get pulled over or whatever. And they thought they were getting legit tags. Well, no. And then how many times do you have to drive around the highway and see these things flapping around and say to yourself, enough's enough? How come we just can't enforce the laws that we have in order to collect with some of these shortfalls? You know, and all of this mismanagement, there's so much we got to look into. It just makes me frustrated as someone that's an outsider moving in. And really, we should be trying to find ways to do this without raising other taxes as much as we can, I think. But we'll see how this rolls out. Could only tax so much, I guess. Austin Peterson was someone that I brought on to this radio program pretty frequently. He was a contributor. He was running for Senate there. Ended up not getting the Republican nomination. Josh Hawley ended up going and winning as well. So it's kind of interesting. I love the merchandise he sells because he was selling this during his campaign. I think he was doing it as a way to fundraise. And it was always make taxation theft again. I thought, man, that's what I should be asking for Christmas. I should be asking for shirts like that to wear around. All right, have you heard of the fake news that's going around, this polar vortex stuff? AccuWeather senior meteorologist Jack Boston is going to join us on the show next. I want to talk to him about that because we had a really good conversation and I called him. And whenever we have some sort of weather question, I'll normally give AccuWeather a call and I'll say, hey, what's up with this polar vortex? And he laughed. He said, who told you that? He's like, didn't believe it. Well, he's calling it fake news, and we'll explain why coming up on Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX.
Joining us now is senior meteorologist for AccuWeather, Jack Boston. Thanks for coming on to Overnight America.
Well, you're very welcome, Ryan. How are you tonight?
Good. I saw the headlines that started to pop up on social media. When you see that polar vortex, it's like a buzzword. Everyone wants to be the first to post it up on Facebook. Did you see there could be another polar vortex? Everyone remembers the years of just that big gust of wind punching them in the face and how terribly cold those things could be. So I called you up and I said, you know, maybe we can talk about this, what we can expect in St. Louis. What is this polar vortex they're talking about? And it's funny because the first thing you said as part of the conversation was, what are they talking about?
Yes, that is correct. And I am a long-range forecasting expert, so I look at things like the polar vortex and atmospheric patterns that we call teleconnections and things like that. But I do look at the weather patterns that we're expecting over the next few weeks, over the next month or two. That's part of my job. And there is no sign of any kind of polar vortex. I think the definition of a polar vortex, Ryan, is when the core of the coldest air, which usually resides around the pole, breaks loose and comes south through North America. Mm-hmm. And that's when we use the term polar vortex because it brings some very cold air with it. It brings the Arctic air straight down through North America. Well, there's no sign that that is going to happen until at least a month from now.
Okay.
The first signs that we'll get what we call Arctic air, which is the coldest air we can get in St. Louis, is probably around the middle or the latter part of January. Now, you were asking me, how's it going to be for Christmas? That's, I think, what everybody wants to know. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you right now, it could not be much nicer.
Oh.
Our normal high temperatures this time of year in St. Louis, I'm calling this up on my computer so I get it exact, is 40. Christmas
Day.
That's the normal
average,
high. Right now, We're thinking a high in the lower 50s on Christmas Day.
Oh, wow.
And we may actually see a little rain Christmas night, okay. But no signs that we're even going to see any snow around Christmas. So, yeah, it's a creation by social media, if you don't mind me saying so.
Yeah, and we're used to that. We're used to having these sort of things crop up and people get all excited because they see the term and they love mm-hmm. these terms for the weather. The polar vortex is a popular
right.
term. And I also like to try to figure out maybe other parts of the United States may be experiencing this. But even though we're not going to expect it in St. Louis, does that necessarily mean other parts of the United States may see snow or may actually see some of this disruption?
Oh, sure. It's not a polar vortex by any means, because the coldest air is going to be residing way up in northern Canada and up into the polar region,
mm-hmm.
kind of where you'd expect it to be, right?
Yeah.
Well, there will be air cold enough to provide some snow on Christmas Day for the Rockies, okay. Colorado, Wyoming, Montana. It's going to be kind of chilly in the northwest also, where there might be some snow up in the mountains. But I think anybody getting a snowstorm would be confined to the central and northern Rockies region, and maybe out into parts of the Dakotas there might be some snow. But it's not what you would define as a polar vortex, because it's not going to be terribly cold. It's going to be cold enough to snow, but not abnormally so.
Yeah.
Normal temperatures with snow in those areas for Christmas Day. St. Louis again, 52, I think, and maybe a little rain by Christmas night. But
yeah.
Certainly not what you call a polar vortex.
Unlike last year, we actually did see snow Christmas morning last year. And I remember because we went outside and did a little snowman. My kid at the time, 3 years old, couldn't get enough of that. Open presents, drink some hot chocolate, and go build a snowman. It's like a
Absolutely.
Perfect Christmas morning. Not this year. This year I may be still cleaning the gutters out by Christmas morning. It still could be with all of the leaves we've seen here. All right, so not to be too concerned with this Arctic air as of yet. We'll revisit this maybe mid-January. There's a possibility. So nothing really for the end of this year.
Well, I would be happy to connect with you then if you want to talk about that. But for Christmas,
yeah,
it's going to be gorgeous.
Good. I like that. You know, this Friday is going to be the longest night of the year and the shortest day of the year, the winter
right.
solstice. And I want to sound smart when I talk about this. I don't know much about it, so can you help me sound intelligent when I bring up this conversation?
Well, the traditional winter solstice is what we call the astronomical winter solstice, where there is the longest day of the year, the longest daylight hours of the year in the southern hemisphere. And here in the northern hemisphere, we have the latest sunrise and the earliest sunset, leading to the shortest amount of daylight hours. And that occurs around Friday, December 21st this year.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, if you want to be exact, I always like to be precise on things. It's going to be at 4:23 in the afternoon, mm-hmm. St. Louis time, on Friday, December 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the astronomical winter solstice, traditionally the beginning of winter, as we all learn when we were in school. Well, in meteorology, we actually have a different definition of winter. In meteorology, we base it more on normal temperatures, and our winter in meteorological circles runs from the 1st of December
mm-hmm.
through the end of February. So that is what we consider meteorological winter. But yes,
okay.
the shortest day of the year and the beginning of winter is this Friday at 4:23 in the afternoon.
I guess part of this article I was looking at on USA Today, they say that meteorologists typically pick December 1st as the first day of winter, even though this would be more or less like the technical day if the Earth had its say in when the winter would start. Why is there a discrepancy there?
Okay, well, there's always a lag. And what I mean by that is we usually try to define winter as the coldest time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And what we see is in meteorological circles, if you take the normal the average temperatures in any given location, they usually reach their lowest point the third week of January. Now, if you think of that, that's not the middle of our traditional winter. Mm-hmm. The middle of our traditional winter would be like the early part of February, because we start on the 21st of December and we start spring on the 22nd of March. Mm-hmm. Okay, but as far as the coldest temperatures of the winter go in any location, that usually occurs around the middle part of January, the third week of January. So that is why meteorologists start that season, our coldest season, December 1st, and wind it up on February 28th.
I see. So it's not a grand conspiracy or anything fun.
No.
Like that.
It's always been that way.
Oh, so the Illuminati didn't have something to do with that. I see. I get it. Well,
not as far as you know. Okay.
So, you know, thanks for explaining this. Also, thanks for, I guess, pushing us back a little whenever we see that term polar vortex. I know the news agencies go crazy. That's why I wanted to call and kind of get a background to it. Senior meteorologist for AccuWeather, Jack Boston. Thank you so much for coming on to Overnight America.
Oh, you're most welcome, Ryan. You have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. And he joins us on the Quiver River Electric Guest Line. If I were to tell you a spoiler, hopefully you don't get too upset, but tonight was The Voice. I don't watch it, but all I know is I kept hearing the updates about St. Louis native Kennedy Holmes, 14 years old, the youngest competitor ever to make it to the finals. They had down to the final four, I believe, and tonight was the night. Tonight was the night where they crowned the winner. So I'm going to tell you who won in 3, 2, 1, in case you had it recorded and you didn't want to hear the winner. Well, Kennedy Holmes did not win. She became in fourth. That's a bummer, but still very proud of a St. Louis native. And I'll tell you, that's an upset. She should have won. From all accounts, everyone was saying her performances were powerful, given her age and everything. She's got a very bright future ahead of her. Congratulations to the Holmes family. Kennedy Holmes out of St. Louis, 14 years old, comes in fourth place on The Voice. All right, coming up in the next hour, Kevin Werbeck, he wrote a book called The Blockchain and the New Architecture of Trust. If you don't know what a blockchain is, if you don't know what a Bitcoin is, if you don't know what a cryptocurrency is, if you don't know any of these things, you're not alone. I don't trust them myself. But he says, you know what? You don't have to trust them. You want to know why? Because it's just the way it's going to go. There's nothing you can do about it. So you might as well lean into it. And he said, even if you never touch it, odds are you'll secretly be touching these things. Just the way things go. Our special guest, Kevin Werbeck, joins us right after the break here on Overnight America KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.